tell you what, maybe we should all, this technology fails you. Maybe they get on just back in a barn somewhere and just talk about Jesus for a while. So I do want to take them on. I really appreciate Gretchen and all the worship team and the sound team up there. And I walked up, man, and Martin and Trevor, they had it under control. I just had to stand there and watch, man. They knew what they were doing. But it's just great to be able to keep pressing on. And we're going to keep pressing on, too. So I just appreciate everything the worship team does. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And we're kind of finishing up. We're going through Matthew, looking at the different conversations, the sermons, if you will, in Matthew. And so we're going to kind of finish up this sermon. But I wanted to at least look at 7. And I titled it Peacemaker 101. That's kind of where Jesus has taken us. And the sermon on the earlier in the Sermon on the Mount under the Beatitudes, Jesus talked about blessed are the peacemakers. Well, this is going to be today talk about a component of being a peacemaker. I think is very helpful for all of us, and just to kind of look at how do we handle conflict and how do we approach conflict. And I just think it's just a really helpful. I mean, all through Scripture, you can see everything in Scripture is applicable to our lives. But I, for me, maybe you guys will feel the same way. Some at times are a little more helpful than others, or at least some come up more often than others. For me, I think this is one that comes up a lot. I get plenty of opportunities to exercise this instruction. So we're going to be Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. You'll stand with me. We'll read God's Word together. Matthew 7, starting in verse 1, it says, "Judge not, that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how do you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your precious word. I thank you, Father, for also just for your servants this morning, Lord. We can come together and worship you, and that our heart, Father, is just on you. And despite the setbacks in our worship, the things we may see as obstacles, we keep focused on you. I pray this morning that focus will continue as we worship you in your word, that the focus will be completely on you. Father, I pray that you join us this morning. You give us discernment. Help me to speak your truth and help it to change us. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we are. We're stepping down through, as I called it, Peacemaker 101. And so it starts off really kind of, you can break this up into sections, I guess, if you will. And the first part, he kind of talks to you about what's going on, and then he kind of moves into something more personal. But I just love the fact that he starts off in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore I tell you," oh, that's not it, "judge not, that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So we see right there he starts off, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, that right there, y'all, is an attention getter, right? "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, we know a lot about, as Christians, we know a lot about judgment. I mean, that's the whole reason we're saved. We know Christ died on the cross for us, and a benefit, a gift to us, is that we avoid that judgment. We'll still be judged, but we'll be found righteous when we are judged. So this here, in the most natural reading, really seems like it's saying, if I don't want to fall under judgment of God, then I don't need to judge other people. That seems to be the most natural reading. So is that true? Is the Bible really telling us, is Jesus telling us here that we should not make any kind of judgments at all? Now, that certainly is a criticism we get from the world about Christians, that we are judgmental. And whenever we bring up, our opinions or whatever on different topics, you know, the topics like what a woman should do with her body, right? Who should and should not get married? What does marriage even look like? What religions are true and what religions are not true? So when we think about these issues that Christians talk about and things we have opinions on, I think if we're not supposed to make any judgments, we as Christians are in a lot of trouble. Amen? Because we make judgments. So I think we need to deal with, what is this actually telling us? Are we supposed to make judgments at all? I think what this is really saying is, just think about this. When we think about the judgments, even in this, and should we make judgments, what does Scripture actually say? Later on in this same chapter, in verse 15, it says you judge a tree by its fruits. We'll just kind of read there real quick. If you have your Bibles, you can flip over. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. You will recognize them by their fruits. And it says so again in verse 20. So isn't that a judgment call you're making on these false prophets? I mean, you're judging them. You're judging by their fruits. Is this person a true prophet or are they a false prophet? If you move later on to this same letter in verse 18, or in chapter 18, it talks about if a brother sins against you and what you should do if a brother comes and sins against you. So I would argue again that also is a judgment. The person's done something to you and you're making a judgment call like, this person has sinned against me, now here's how you respond. So I don't think the Bible would support the claim that we should not make any judgments. Rather, I think what it's saying is more how we judge. So when we make these judgments, how are we doing so? Are we like the Jewish leaders of the time, and we judge like them, hypocritical and cold and callous? But I think this is pointing us to how we judge. Judge not that you be not judged is talking about how we judge. And I think Christ moves into that when he starts in verses 2. Verse 2 says this, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So with the judgment you pronounce, with the judgment that you start off with. So when you thinking about how we judge, when you start off, this issue comes up and you start to make some kind of judgment, some kind of assessment of what's going on, where is your heart at? Where do you start with? Now, when we start right here, there, at that very moment, that is key that we get our heart right. One of the things that's so important in that moment is that we have what's called charitable judgment. So I'll tell you a little story about what's charitable judgment. It's a different word, and I did ask permission this week, and I talk about this. It's a true story. But this, to me, it's in my life, this perfect example of a charitable judgment. Charitable judgment really is just basically like, you know, sometimes you hear it, give the benefit of the doubt, but this really is more of a just God-honoring way of just giving charity and grace to the person. So when Becca was 5, she's kindergarten. At the time, I was working nights, so I would walk down the street. It's only like maybe a half mile away from the house. So I'd go pick her up from school. Now, if you guys have ever done parent pickup, how many of you raise your hand? Y'all kind of know that it's about the same. It's like a whole gym full of moms and dads just waiting for the kid to show up so we can go home. Same thing here, right? Now, if there is a room full of people and I'm there, what do y'all think I'm doing? I'm talking to somebody every single time. I'm talking to somebody, right? And I love it somehow, just talking to them, how you doing, you know, what do you go to church anywhere, right? Never stops. I'm going to go there sooner or later, where you go to church. And just kind of get to know them. I love hearing people's stories. Well, this particular time, a lady's standing there, and I guess she was either, you know, the victim or however you want to put that, but I was talking to her. And so it turns out her husband's in the Army, and so it's just kind of, hey, how you just brand new to the area. So I'm telling her all about, like, oh, here's how you find things, the festival's going on in the summertime, and it turns out her and her husband were runners, so here's some running routes you can find. So by that time, Becca walks up, and I'm like, well, here's my daughter, Rebecca, and just, you know, kind of finish the conversation and go home. Now, and I wasn't here, I was told this, so somewhere along the lines, it's sort of paraphrasing, Melissa was like, hey, Becca, how's your day? Oh, the day was pretty good. Dad met this lady, and Mom, he's really nice to her. Okay. No, Mom, he was really nice to this lady, right? Now, I sense aspect about it, and she says, look, I just wanted Mom to know what a great guy she's married to, but look, y'all, this could be a problem for me, right? thankfully, I am married to a God-honoring woman, right? She loves the Lord. She's graceful. And she was like, there's probably more to this than let me just kind of hear the whole thing out before, right? That's charitable judgment. Y'all understand? So, thank goodness for my God-honoring wife who loves the Lord, but that's charitable judgment. It just simply says, I'm going to assume, before I even make any kind of judgment, I'm going to assume that their intentions were honorable. Until I know for a fact that I should be upset about whatever's happened, I'm just going to assume the best about them. I'm going to show them grace and love and patience, and I'm just going to kind of withhold any kind of opinion about it. And that's what this is talking about. So that's what I mean by getting your heart right, is that you start with offering this charitable judgment about whatever the situation is and about that other person, right? You just kind of withhold and just wait a second. I think too often times we like jump in and don't even have all the facts, and it turns out there's not even really an issue there. It's just, but we kind of jump in, and next thing you know, we're in this big conflict, and we're all upset. Well, I think there's one aspect also when we think about getting our heart right, when he says, talking about our judgment, the way we pronounce judgment, is also in a different scenario, as we see with the Jewish leaders, is that just simply don't be hypocritical, right? Romans 2:1 is helpful. We won't turn there. Romans 2:1 says, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. If you read through Scripture, you see that the Jewish leaders were extremely hypocritical, right? So that's what this is talking about. Also, another story happened this week. This is another true story. So we are really trying to get, if you guys seen our front yard before and after trees, it's vastly different. We're really trying to get our front yard together. We're trying to get some stuff done. Well, the roots are so bad, we had to rent some equipment from Home Depot. So it's a lot of Saturday. It's kind of getting late. I'm trying to get the stuff back. I'm at Home Depot turning the stuff back in. Or it's Friday. I'm sorry, not Saturday. It's Friday. I'm trying to turn the stuff back in. I get to Home Depot, and the boys have forgot their face masks. We're paying by the hour here. So, I mean, we're turning it in. So I walk in, and the boys, of course, I love my boys, man. They see that all this machinery, like, ooh, just walking around. I'm trying to get them kind of corralled. Where there's this yellow box right here and by the door. So I'm like, hey, you know what, guys, just let's stand in the yellow box. And then this is, let's pretend it's lava outside the box. Let's stand like y'all parents, you know what I'm doing, right? And so then Parker was, what? Yeah, the yellow box. So Parker would looked up, and he wasn't like being rude or anything. He's like, you don't have to stand in the yellow box because you're a dad? Okay, here we go. Right. Yeah. So I think the second part of that is just don't be hypocritical. I mean, I think just in the way we judge, we sort of stop and think, well, am I doing, I mean, I'm kind of guilty doing the same thing sometimes, right? Maybe I'm guilty doing the same thing in this situation, or maybe I'm guilty of doing the same thing in past situations, but I think just before we pronounce judgment, we just have to kind of check ourselves, and that whole issue is about getting our heart right and getting that right kind of heart. But I think also just when we think about this, as we move on, not only before we pronounce judgment, but it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And when I think about that, I just think about grace. I think about, if you guys remember, so in John, I think it's chapter 8, Jesus, when they brought up that woman caught in adultery, you guys remember that story? So they bring this woman to Jesus, they're trying to trap Jesus, and they bring this woman, she's clearly been caught in adultery, she's clearly guilty, and they say, well, the law of Moses says you should stone her. They all got stones in their hands, man, and Jesus is like, well, look, whoever here is not guilty of sin, you throw the first stone. Remember that? And they all kind of dropped their stones and started walking away. But here's what Jesus said. It blows my mind. See, the first part of it is not to be a hypocrite, but then Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you either. The only person there who was qualified to throw that stone at her showed grace. And I think that's what I think about when I read this about when it talks about the measure that we use. Do we judge with grace and compassion and love? And the lady was guilty, and Jesus even said, don't sin anymore. There was justice. He acknowledged she sinned and said, don't sin anymore, but he showed her grace. So when we think about how we judge, when we try to get our heart right, are we giving that charitable judgment? If the situation permits us with the Jewish leaders, are we not being hypocritical? And are we showing grace? Well, I think when we walk through here, we see these different attributes of a peacemaker. And I think when I see this first one, the first attribute I believe is that a peacemaker should be honorable. Peacemaker should be honorable. So we as peacemakers, we should be honorable. I don't know if you guys have watched it or not. I'm not trying to get into politics here on the pulpit because I think it's a horrible thing. But, you know, if you watch the news or try to watch the news at all, the confirmation of the Supreme Court justice is like all over the place, right? In our courts, we have this image that we use of this lady standing there blindfolded with scales, right? And the whole idea is that our judicial system should be based and founded on the judicial system from Scripture, and it is honorable. It's blinded. It's not swayed by any kind of favoritism one way or the other, and it properly weighs out, balances truth and love. That's what we're talking about here. So a peacemaker, as peacemakers, we should be honorable, and to do that, we get our hearts right. So with this description, as we understand we get our hearts right, then Jesus moves in. He makes this announcement. He has this sort of challenge to us, but then he moves in and he gives this example through 3 through 5. He makes it personal. And he talks about it in terms of personal conflict. Starting at verse 3 and 4, it says this: "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your own eye,' when there is a log in your own eye?" Now, as we move through these, certainly these are principles, right? So in dealing with conflict or in dealing with judgment, certainly these are principles. But in these next few verses, I want you to think in terms of a process, not just a list of principles, but a process that we should follow as Christians in a way of making the right kind of judgments about a situation or about an issue the person's doing or whatever. I think this defines for us a process. And I say that the process, we'll get to this, but in verse 5, if you look down there, it says, first take the log out of your own eye, then clearly you will be able to see clearly. So this whole first and then kind of dichotomy, right? So we see that this is a process that I think we need to follow as Christians. So it starts off, verse 3. "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" And I think right at the beginning of that, what we understand is, it says, why do you see? Why do you see? Why do you notice and fixate on the issues of your brother? Ignoring your own problems, ignoring your own sins, why is it you start off completely focused and fixated on what they have done? Why do you do that? And he's condemning them for this, because this is out of order. Here's what happens when you do that. When you do that, you're looking at the problems and the sins that maybe there is sin in the person's committed, but you're looking at their sin without the context of your own faults. So what ends up happening is, even when you're looking at their faults, you lack compassion, humility, and grace. You're simply just focused on what they're doing, and we move on here. It even talks about the speck in your brother's eye and the log that's in your own eye. I think that's the effect of what happens when we're focused on what the other person does. We see what they do, and we have this offense of what they've done, maybe what they've done to us, and we just respond like, "I can't believe you did that. What are you doing? This is like the worst thing in the world." And we're just totally heartbroken and distraught and angry about what it is they have done. How many of y'all can relate to that? I can. Man, I'll just fly off and I just can't believe what you just did. Because you don't have the context of this compassion and grace and humility, because you're just focused on what they have done and you're not even thinking about your own self. And oftentimes what we do, and guys, I'm telling you, I've seen this over and over and over in conflicts, whether I'm just talking to somebody or whether I'm talking to somebody in my office or just talking to a friend or whatever, where you have these two people that are in an argument and they will focus on what the other person has done, will totally inflate what the other person's done, right? So it talks about the speck in your brother's eye, the log in your own eye, they'll get it flipped, reversed, almost every single time. They'll see what the other person's done. The other person's offense is like a log, and they're totally overinflating what the other person's done, and it's like to themselves, I've done just basically like nothing. If you even notice it at all. Because here's what we do. When we think about our own, we'll start justifying our own faults right away, amen? Oh, well, I mean, I know that was wrong, but here's why I did it. So we start justifying our own selves and our own actions and our own heart. Well, simply this is just saying, why don't you do that for the other person? Why don't you give that same kind of justification and grace and love and understanding to the other person first? But no, this is warning where Jesus says you start off with the other person. You focus on what they're doing, often with disastrous results. Then in verse 4 it says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye? So in here, I think it's kind of similar, but a little bit different. One is where we notice, now it's saying, let me take. So now we're going to try to fix the other person without considering our own selves. Well, this is where we as Christians start hearing words like self-righteous and hypocritical. Amen? That's where we start getting these words, because we're trying to fix somebody else. We ain't even thought about our own self yet. We're going to try to fix their problems, deal with their sin, and you got all this load of sin you're clearly not even dealing with. And then we rightly start being accused of being self-righteous and cold. They lack compassion. And here's the things that we start hearing about us, because we're trying to fix what this other person and not even considering our own selves. And so often, as also we see the dichotomy here again with the speck and the log, we're trying to fix their speck, their small sin, their you know, what maybe it's the mannerisms or something they've done is really relatively small, but yet we have this log in our own eye, and we just look like absolute hypocrites. So there's what Jesus is saying. Why do you do these things? So I think secondly, we've said it a couple of times, I think the second attribute is a peacemaker is graceful, humble, and compassionate. As peacemakers, we strive to be graceful, humble, and compassionate. How are we graceful, humble, and compassionate? Because we see our own faults first before we see theirs. We just pause for a moment. We have this grace because, you know what? I've been shown grace because I'm a sinner, and Jesus died for me, and I know I still struggle with sin, so I can show you grace. I can show you compassion because I probably have sinned just like you're sinning right now. I've probably put my foot in my mouth even worse than you put your foot in my mouth. What you said to me was horrible, and you shouldn't have said it. I know it was out of anger, and I know what that's like because I've said some horrible things to people out of anger, right? That's compassion. Where you start with yourself, and you analyze yourself, and you realize who you are, and you realize that, you know what, Jesus died on the cross for me, and you understand that this is my Savior for a reason, and then you can show compassion to someone else. But you start with yourself. So there was examples, I think, of what not to do, right? Verses 3 and 4, Jesus shows us, here's what you don't do. And then in verse 5, he says, okay, here's what you do. Here's how you should handle judgments. But I want to skip over the fact that he starts off with, you hypocrite. Now, we kind of cringe as Christians. I mean, I do. I kind of cringe whenever I hear somebody calling me a hypocrite, especially when they're of the world. I mean, calling me a hypocrite. You don't even know what I believe, and you're going to judge me and call me a hypocrite? Well, listen, if you are guilty and you practice the things in verses 3 and 4, if you are the type of person who's going to, like, focus on somebody else's faults and before you look at your own, Jesus calls you a hypocrite. That's the name Jesus has for you. So I don't know if that stings when you hear the world calling you that. It does me, but I'm just telling you, if that's who you are or if that's how you're handling this particular situation, Jesus' word for you is hypocrite, right? So then he says, first, take the log out of your own eye. Again, this is where you start seeing the process come out. Missed that one completely. Where he talks about first. Still missed it. My fingers are too big. Just underline it. So where it talks about first. So this is where the process starts coming out. So it says, first, take the log out of your own eye. So first, deal with your own sins. First, think about where you have failed. You do this first, right? And so again, this is very much about, that's why I say this is the process, because this isn't saying you have to be perfect. This is just simply saying, you know, Lord, is my heart right? This is where you do first. Lord, is my heart right? Have I considered my own sins? Do I have compassion and grace and humility in my own heart before I go dealing with whatever this person did? Now, this is not saying the person didn't do, maybe the person did do something, but it's saying first, you need to take care of yourself. Now, here's what's important, is if you're going to do this first, if you are going to first deal with your own sins, your own issues, your own mistakes, whatever you want to call them, if you're truly going to do that first, that means you are going to have to completely withhold judgment on when this person has done. Here, let me kind of get a little bit deeper. That means it doesn't matter what this person has done in the past to you. It doesn't matter what kind of reputation this person has on the street or around whoever or who this person is. If you are going to truly handle this situation in a God-honoring way, you're going to say, I don't care what I know. I don't care what I hear. I'm going to prepare my own heart before I deal with that. You're not going to, in your mind, going to make these judgments, all right? You're not going to say, well, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get you. You wait till I get done praying. I'm going to let you have it, buddy. That's not doing it first, right? You're already judging them in your mind. That's not what that means. That means you totally withhold any kind of opinion about them or the situation until you have dealt with your own self. So first, you deal with yourself. Then you will see clearly. Then you will see clearly. Here's why I love about that, is that what this is telling us is you are not able to even see the situation appropriately until you first have dealt with yourself. You are not even qualified to fully understand and comprehend this situation until you first deal with your own heart. That's what that means. But first you do this, then you will see clearly. The implication there is that you're not even seeing clearly until you deal with yourself. You're not even qualified to deal with this situation until you have dealt with your own heart. Y'all think about that? Here, we try to resolve these issues. We try to either try to resolve this conflict or rebuke this person for what they've done or deal with their sins. You're not even qualified to do that because you haven't taken the time to think about your own sins and get your heart right. Who do you think you are to address them about what they have done? You're not qualified. You're not speaking for the Lord. The Lord is not speaking through you. You're speaking for yourself, and you are woefully unqualified. So this is why I say this is absolutely a process. If you are not willing to set down what they have done, overlook who they are, their past mistakes, anything you've heard, anything you know, and say, you know what, I'm going to deal with my own heart first, and then I'm going to deal with them, then you are not ready to deal with that issue. You're not ready to handle whatever it is that they have done. And I've shared this in the past, I know, but I've had to do this where the person is like, hundreds of miles away, I can't even really spend time. Now, I could call them on the phone, but I just kind of raise different. You know, if it's an issue, you talk to them face-to-face, right? But because that is the best way to do it, by the way. But I've been challenged where I've had to pray about a person, and I had to go to the Lord, like, Lord, I just want to start praying about the situation, and I'm going to start praying about my own faults, my own failures. And the Lord starts showing me, God, if you want to pray, like, Lord, show me where I have failed, and you pray that with your heart, he's going to show you. I'm just telling you, show me where I'm guilty in this situation. Show me where I need to get my own heart right before I deal with them. And here's what's happened almost every single time I've done that, is their sins start getting smaller and mine starts getting bigger, exactly what this scripture says. That is exactly what I experience every time I stop and pray about. That doesn't mean that I started it. That doesn't mean that what they've done is wrong. It doesn't mean necessarily my sins are greater than theirs every time. I'm not saying that. It's just, I start seeing myself in more of a reality, and I start seeing their sins in more of a reality. And then I'm more prepared to deal with whatever's going on. And now I'm listening to the Lord, and I have compassion and grace for that person. So when I think about this, I think, thirdly, when we talk about the third attribute, I think the third attribute is that a peacemaker is forgiven. I think one of the most critical things you can do as a Christian when you have any kind of conflict or when you see somebody who's sinned against you or they're whatever this is, has happened, the very best thing you can do is remind yourself, I'm forgiven. You remind yourself, you know what? Jesus died for me. And every single time, that's what you rehearse in your mind over and over and over again, regardless of what they have done. Maybe you are completely innocent and they are completely guilty. That happens very rarely, but maybe that's the case. You know what? You still are not completely innocent. Maybe in that situation, but you're still forgiven. Amen? So this is what compels you to show this kind of grace and love. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he forgave us. We show compassion because Christ on the cross showed compassion for us. So when we read this about these conflict and this judgment of others, that is how we capture and prepare ourselves to have that kind of love, grace, and compassion and forgiveness, is because we remember first that we are forgiven. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, that I am forgiven. Lord, sometimes I feel like Paul, when he talks about his own sins and he claims that he is the worst. Lord, I know my own sins. I know my failures. And I know that I don't deserve your forgiveness. But I thank you for giving it to me. Lord, I pray not that we will be a church that does not make judgments. Not that we are. I don't pray that we're a church that doesn't boldly stand on truth. But I pray, Father, that we will only speak the truth in love. That the forefront of our hearts will be compassion and humility and forgiveness and patience and love. And from that place, Lord, speaking as your ambassadors from love, then we will rightfully speak your truth to the world. Father, if there is anyone here who has found themselves, or maybe they are in currently in this conflict, Lord, I pray that you will just bring yourself in that situation. Touch their hearts, Father, that they will just seek you, and then they will take you into that conflict and sort of lead towards a resolution that honors you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?